Great, yeah. It's raining here in Scotland at the moment, which is just what we want for the ground. We're currently good ground for our race meeting next Sunday, and this will just sort of take us on the soft side, which is perfect for the jump racing that we stage here.
Well, maybe explain to our listeners your location, because you're one of those racetracks that's certainly not as high profile as some of the bigger clubs in the UK, but you're a Scottish club, and I don't think you're too far away from the border as well. So for those that just hear racing or see racing from Kelso, why don't you tell our audience back here in Australia where you actually are?
Yeah, so we're in an absolutely beautiful part of the world. It's not particularly densely populated. We're just on the border between England and Scotland, on the Scottish side. It's a part of the world that people know particularly well for salmon fishing. So it's a gorgeous place to visit. There's lots of walking, but it's also a very equestrian oriented part of the world. So there's still a huge number of people who live here, who work or have close contact with horses on quite a regular basis. And a lot of the local towns have common riding festivals where they will ride the boundaries of the parishes participate in lots of community activities. So the horse plays a big part of our lives here.
And how busy a club are you? Where are you situated on the scheme of things for UK racing as a club?
Well, we've got some key race days. Actually, our biggest race meeting in terms of profile happens in March when we stage a £100,000 handicap hurdle. And that race actually carries an additional bonus of £100,000 if the winner goes on to win at the Cheltenham Festival, which was actually scooped last year by a horse called the Shunter, who won a number of graded races afterwards. So we have our high days, like many race courses. But our typical crowd, would be probably 3,000 to 4,000 on a sort of typical weekend fixture, with a few high days dotted throughout the year.
Now, I guess you would know over the last year or so, the ramifications of COVID across the world have been different. We had months and months of racing here with crowds on track, while over there in the UK there was no one. Now things are turned the other way. Right now, our big Melbourne Cup Carnival and other feature dates are eagerly hoping they might have some people on track, but if there are, it'll be nowhere near the huge crowds we're used to. And obviously a lot of clubs are now coming to terms with vaccinations, what the requirements will be, space protocols and so on, masks and so on. Can you explain to us the interesting situation that you've decided to go with a few meetings to come there in Scotland, that under the Scottish government, the rules regarding a vaccine certificate are for an event with 4,000 people? So you're going to cap some meetings at $3,999. Just explain the rationale behind that.
Yes, so actually we've been through very similar processes to you, in that we've had a long period where we weren't able to have any crowds here at all. Spectators were permitted to come back here. The first fixture that we had any race goers to was back in May. But that was a very small number, so they're heavily restricted. There was spacing requirements and masks and so on. Now that a much greater part of our population is vaccinated, we're getting much closer to normal. So masks are still required when people go indoors, so into an indoor bar or, an area like that. But in the outside areas on a race day, they're operating in a much more normal way. But a new piece of legislation is coming in Scotland just in the next few days, and it relates to the vaccination. So the majority of people here are vaccinated, and so from now on, the Scottish government says that in certain situations, it would like people to display their vaccination certificates in order to gain access, and that might be in an indoor venue, perhaps like a nightclub in certain times, or in terms of our race day events, if somebody is attending an event with more than 4,000 people.
So, Jonathan, How would this be viewed by, I mean, is this something we're going to see in Scotland just for a period of time until people are sure about what's happening? And I think you're going to tell us that you don't often get more than 4,000 anyway, but are we going to see concerts or other events that say, right, we'll cap it just below so that saves us the problem of the vaccination? How's this going to be viewed by the UK racing authorities?
I think there will be different race meetings will operate in different ways. So in the rest of England, this isn't a requirement. So the English government looked at this particular mechanism. They were thinking about implementing it, and then they said, no, you know, we're not going to do this because it's going to be too onerous on the businesses that are involved. But the Scottish government is independent, and it's taken the decision to implement this. And actually, you know, we just received in the last day or two, you know, guidance about how it will operate. But there are some small issues for us, in particular, being so close to the English border that we would attract a lot of race goers from England as well as from Scotland, and the data. Although they're both held by the National Health Service, the NHS, there are different systems for the NHS in Scotland and England. So we have a number of complicating factors that meant that we weren't really certain how we were actually going to implement this checking of the COVID certification. And bearing in mind that we're supposed to implement it this weekend, it didn't seem practical. And actually, we're probably not going to hit that 4,000 threshold anyway, but a lot of spectators were contacting us, hearing about the legislation and say, what do we need to do? And so just to make it easy for everybody, we said, you know, regardless of what the sales are looking like, we're actually going to cap the number. So we're not going to go above the 4,000 threshold between now and the end of the calendar year, which just means that everybody who is booking their tickets has a bit of certainty about what they have to do before they come racing. And so it just means we can comply with the government guidance, but we're complying by ensuring that we stay below 4,000. I think if we were a race course that regularly attracted 15 or 20,000, we would be taking a slightly different approach, and we would be finding ways to help our spectators to provide the information required.
So given, as you say, you're close to where the English border is, if you had gone over 4,000 and you did require the vaccine certificate, even though that's not the law in England, I'm just trying to fathom, for example, in this country, if you came from another state, you'd still have to obliged by the road rules or whatever happens in the state you're in. So would it be unfair to ask English people to show a vaccination so they could attend? Surely that wouldn't exempt them, would it? Or
No, it wouldn't exempt them. So the rules of where the venue is would apply. And so it would apply equally if it was somebody who was travelling from Scotland or from England or Ireland or, you know, even from an overseas country. So they would all have to comply with the legislation of where the venue is. But the decision we've made basically makes that just a little bit more simple.
Has it created an uptake in crowds? I mean, if you say you normally get below 4,000 for these remaining meetings anyway, even your big Christmas meeting, does that mean that people suddenly see the word, oh, gee, it's capped, it might be a sellout, I better get a ticket now? Has it had a byproduct of people wanting to come?
I would say that it's probably very... I was going to say it's similar to normal, but actually the first fixture that we staged as a new season. So we don't race in the summer. We started again in September. And we saw quite a significant uplift ahead of that fixture, which was before we announced that we were going to do this cap, because of the legislation, hadn't actually gone through the Scottish government at that stage. So we saw quite a very significant uplift in ticket sales for that opening fixture. And so that could carry on through our remaining fixtures of the calendar year. And I think we would have race meetings where normally we would expect perhaps 3,500 race goers. And I could quite easily see those go up to close to the 4,000 figure based on what we saw in September. So I think that could happen. In terms of the bookings that are coming in now, since we made the announcement, I think the announcement did draw attention to us. So yes, there were some extra bookings, but I don't think it will make much difference to the overall total. I think by and large, it will be the same race-going public that we've welcomed for many years. That's what we're hoping for.
And just finally, Jonathan, as I said, the world has turned totally in terms of what's happening over there compared to here, but soon we will open up, soon we'll require our vaccinations to be shown, and people, I guess, will in some cases be a little bit nervous given it'll be new territory for this country. Scotland was quite cautious behind other parts of the UK before racing crowds returned anyway, and I'm gathering the government too was a little bit cautious too compared to maybe England. But so I guess people there are starting to get used to the fact that life is some sort of normality and most people are vaccinated. Do you have any concerns? There might be people that say, well, gee, Jonathan, I want to make sure everyone at Kelso standing next to me has had a vaccination. If you had 4,001, I'd know that would be the case. Now that it's not 4,000, I have to trust that people are vaccinated. Would that be one part of the aspect that you'll have to meet some sort of criticism?
I think that we've reached a stage, to be honest, where the majority of the population here is vaccinated. And there is a wider debate amongst those that, between those that aren't, as to whether they should be. That goes on in all walks of life, not just horse racing. And of course, we're meeting those people, in the supermarket or the high street anyway. And some of them have good reasons why they might not take a vaccination, because they would be exempt for one reason or another. There are ongoing debates here about the age at which people should sort of receive vaccination as well. So there's all sorts of things which are going on, and I'm sure they're going on in your country as well, just as they are here. So the sort of situation that you envisage, I think it is part of the debate, but I think it's one that we just need to sort of discuss and have compassion about. So, when we discuss it with anybody, you have to understand other people's point of view and where they're coming from and allow them, the free choices that they have as citizens of the country.
We really appreciate you taking the call from our industry listeners that are keen to see what's happening overseas, and to just our racing audience that know of Kelso as another venue to bet on and to listen to. It's great to have a chat to you about one of the less high-profile race clubs, but still a very, very important aspect of Scottish and UK racing. All the best. Thank you for taking the call, Jonathan. Good luck with your meetings.
Thank you. Thanks very much.